This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. It is Lee Chui Lin alongside Kelvin Yee and Ayman Rashad. We are going to discuss the dilemma facing Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam.
And you can join in the conversation. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9. The business station.
It is 7:05 in the evening. So next up, we are going to be talking about Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, and Hong Kong itself. A little bit of an update of sorts. If you have any thoughts, you can also send those through. Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to have that conversation after this. Keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:12 in the evening with Lin, Ayman and Kelvin. And for our next story, we are shifting focus to Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam. This is coming after Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has suggested that she should resign amidst the ongoing protests in Hong Kong.
Tun then pointed out that Carrie Lam is in a dilemma. He said that while her conscience says that the people of Hong Kong are right in rejecting the law, she knows the consequences for rejecting it. Tun then further adds that, "I think the best thing is to resign."
So these protests have been going on for 4 months now. If Carrie Lam does resign, it will be interesting to see how much it will ease tensions, because the grievances of the protesters, I think, go beyond the changes to the extradition bill, which has been abandoned, and also beyond who is in charge, because it's expanded to demands for greater democracy.
And I think the issue here is also that it has upped in intensity and in violence, really, is what it comes down to, because it began life peacefully. I mean, it was the numbers were huge and the disruption to Hong Kong was real, but it was nevertheless relatively peaceful. And then, of course, you have all these underlying tensions that are already present in Hong Kong society. This fear that Beijing is just kind of running the show. This other, that issue of trust between the public and the police. And you have, I guess, what was really kind of set up for something like this to happen, because you've also had Carrie Lam saying over and over again, calling for a return to peace, saying that she is interested in talking to anyone who wants to talk to her in order to restore some measure of harmony. And what we're seeing, at least from what I've read, none of it seems to have worked.
Yeah, I think for the protesters, I think a lot of them feel as if they're not being listened to, that they're not being heard out. And it's also, in particular, the role of being a chief executive, right? It doesn't seem like it's a role that necessarily pleases anyone. Protesters are not happy with Carrie Lam. Neither is Beijing, who has reportedly been quite unhappy with the fact that Carrie Lam introduced the first bill, the bill in the first place.
Yes, but I think there's also, I mean, you were saying earlier that it's hard, they feel that they're not being listened to. But I think the other thing is, what do you want to be heard? Because it's sort of several things now that are sitting, like you said earlier, Ayman, it's expanded tremendously, right? It began very focused, extradition. Then it became, actually, we also don't like interference.
Actually, and we have all these other things that we want also.
Yeah, by the way, democracy and the police need accountability. And so now it's just kind of snowballed, I think, into this much larger thing. And I also find it interesting that our Prime Minister weighed in.
I just wonder if this is part of the, you know, earlier, I think earlier in the week, we covered this story where Malaysia is now choosing to be more active players in terms of foreign policy and diplomacy. So I wonder if this is just a consequence of that.
But like, I don't know, Malaysia is so used to like not interfering in the affairs of other countries. So Tun M commenting and even suggesting that she should resign, that is like a new thing.
That, and also it's a relatively blunt statement. But I think we're getting used to that from Tun M. I mean, generally when he speaks these days, it does tend to be sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Non-sugar-coated?
Yeah, I think so. And so we just wanted to get a little bit of an update on the situation to understand, well, the position that Carrie Lam is in, I suppose. If you have any comments, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and call 7733-2900. On the line with us now is Bu Negara, who is Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia. Bun, thank you for joining us this evening. So how much impact do you think the views expressed by other global leaders can have on the situation in Hong Kong?
No, I don't think that there's any appreciable impact, and I don't think the when the governments in say, for example, the US, UK, and Malaysia, the government leaders, you know, made comments. I don't think there was any intention to have any impact at all. And, you know, the Hong Kong situation is so tense and basically it's very localized and inward-looking. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be any international repercussions.
At the moment, it seems like there are two prevailing opinions about the situation in Hong Kong. The first that is that the pro-democracy protesters are challenging the big oppressor that is China. And the second is that the West in particular has been taking advantage by meddling in the situation as the US-China trade war continues. Also been something that's been brought up in our WhatsApp messages. What are your thoughts?
So this is not a way to actually do anything ethical. It's very unethical, you know, if that's happening. Because, you know, Hong Kong is already suffering, and I think things should not get any worse by people deliberately making things bad for others. I think that's a very bad situation.
But I guess we can't know for sure, at least for now, right?
Yes, obviously. But, you know, there have been photographs. You may have seen them going around showing, you know, people who... Westerners basically conspiring apparently with the protesters, youthful protesters, you know, all wearing black, including co-conspirators. And, you know, there has also been a history of, you know, groups and countries intervening in such vital, pivotal places like Hong Kong now, all the way from Ukraine to Venezuela and many points in between. You know, trying to provoke a situation which is intended apparently to deliberately affect the country's concern, in this case, China. So we hope that is not the situation, but we don't know. Given the record, I think, and the past history, this kind of things have happened. And I would not be surprised at all that it is happening in Hong Kong now.
So what will be achieved by having Carrie Lam resign? And can she resign?
Well, she can resign, I suppose, yeah, if she wants to. But, you know, the question is who is going to do the job after she goes, you know, and whether that person is going to be any better. We only can be argued, perhaps, that nobody can be worse. But we'll see. You know, I'm sure there are some people who will be able to handle the situation, you know, more reasonably. And to top it off, I think it's sad that the person who murdered his girlfriend and confessed to it to police, who is now under custody in Hong Kong, may be released anytime from this month. Because under the present arrangements, without any kind of change in the regulations and rules which, you know, the Hong Kong protesters are against, under the present arrangements, the suspect who has confessed to the crime can only be charged with money laundering because he used his dead girlfriend's credit card to get money, and he cannot be charged for murder. So that's the tragedy of it, you know. And if this case can go through and he can escape, you know, justice, then I think there will be more cases of serious crimes, including murder, to come in future. And then, you know, protesters who attack the police repeatedly, as we've seen, and yet complain when the police take action against them. You know, I mean, what kind of a situation is that? You know, how would any authority in the world let protesters get away with this kind of argument?
And as you're mentioning, things have gotten increasingly fiery. What are your thoughts on how the situation in Hong Kong has grown over the past few months?
Well, it's become a very uncontrolled situation. You could say it's getting from bad to worse. And the main fault appears to lie with the administrators in Hong Kong. Because, you know, whether it's the kind of policing, you know, or lack of policing, or the kinds of, you know, policy moves or mismanagement of policies, it's so badly handled that you cannot imagine something like this happening in any other place in the world. Because, you know, the police are always in control elsewhere, and occasionally they may come under pressure from violent crowds and mobs, but at least they were able to enforce law and order. And, you know, to have the upper hand. But so far, more than 4 months now, not in Hong Kong. So, you know, it's something that is really unimaginable. And, you know, there are really no excuses on the part of the Hong Kong authorities.
is Carrie Lam's position particularly difficult at this moment?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not an easy position. You know, you, on the one hand, you've got, you know, violence on the ground. You've got police who are stretched, who are frustrated. And then you've got protesters who are violent, who have vandalized, you know, property, even burned some private cars on the road. They come across and attack police and anyone who gets in their way. And, you know, Carrie Lam and her colleagues also have to answer to the authorities in Beijing, ultimately. And so far, the authorities in Beijing have said or done very little, leaving it to Hong Kong to sort of solve their own problems, if they can. It's not sure whether they can actually do that when they are supposed to actually do their job. Now, so far, I think all throughout all these years, the Hong Kong authorities have basically been seen to be reasonably competent only because there have been no serious challenges like this violent protest. Now, when you're faced with very tough challenges like this right now, this is the real test. And, you know, if they cannot prove themselves, you know, and show that they can do their job, then really they are just fair weather administrators. And, you know, fair weather administrators don't really deserve to be in that position because the weather can get rough sometimes. And you need to be able to handle the situation in any kind of event.
And will Malaysia feel any repercussions as the situation in Hong Kong develops?
Well, I think there are other countries and economies that are benefiting because money is being taken out, you know, of Hong Kong, billions by the billions, because big businesses, you know, are not going to risk their future in such a place. So, you know, big money has been taken out of Hong Kong to other countries and, you know, for investments. And those recipient countries are benefiting from this kind of inputs. And also, even as a tourist destination, I think, as you know, the tourist numbers are down as well. Nobody wants to go to a place that's so unstable and dangerous. So even though the protests and the violent protests especially are only restricted to certain parts of Hong Kong, it must be said it's not the whole of Hong Kong that's on fire, you know. And but still, the image has suffered greatly, and people don't want to risk you know, running into any of these disturbances while they're, you know, out on a holiday trying to enjoy themselves.
Boon, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Boon Negara, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia, weighing in on the situation surrounding Hong Kong's Chief Executive Carrie Lam and Hong Kong itself, because it has been 4 months long now. Did you guys think that we would still be talking about this?
Well, I feel like we would have, because there wasn't an end to this. You know, there wasn't like proper steps, I feel, taken by Hong Kong's administration to try to address it or try to soothe some of the requests by the protesters. It did feel like, I didn't expect violence to take place, but I guess when frustrations boil and the nature of it being a leaderless movement, it would have gotten here eventually.
I see some parallels because I'm thinking of the Gilets Jaunes protests in France and also the response of the British public to whatever it was that Theresa May did. I think the public are starting to, like, to feel the power. I don't know why or what it is that contributes to it, but it does feel like no matter what a leader does to sort of resolve a problem, there will always be other side problems that people will never be happy about.
Yeah, I guess I'm just surprised at, like you said, the steps that have been taken or not taken. The seriousness of it was very apparent at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think that 4 months on we would see this level of escalation. So I don't know. I do think, however, that for what it's worth, since it is Friday, mm-hmm. We can end on a slightly lighter note. And this has come in from Ro, who said, just had to add these irresistibly punny headlines. Lam's wrong carrier move. I think that works better written down. Does she even carry anymore? And carry Lambat to respond.
Mm.
I enjoyed
all three of them.
Well done, well done.
Thank you, Ro. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.